Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Socks on Tap.
Tony, my first reaction is just, fuck yes, let's go.
Socks versus the Twins. That's where it all starts. Because it all starts taking care of business in-house in the Central Division.
That's right, I'm a meatball.
You got to bring that top button swag, baby.
It is always great to beat the Cubs.
And I'm a homer, so I always say they're gonna.
Dallas Keuchel, Lamson got some beards that you should be afraid of.
What everybody said when he gets out there, it's me versus the other guy, and I'm going to beat him. So I just love that mentality. It's cool and fucking tough.
Steve, would you say that Tony is mad online?
I would definitely say that.
The White Sox winner.
Hello, White Sox fans. Welcome in. It is the Sox on Tap post-game show. Johnny Nani here alongside Tony Marchese, live from Tony's basement, discussing an exciting 8-7 White Sox walk-off winner. Tony, we were at the game. How fucking awesome was it?
Johnny, crack 'em.
Cheers.
Cheers. It's always great to do these together. Hopefully the audio is coming in just fine. I'm going to move the microphone just a little bit. Hopefully that makes it just even better. It's a great day to be a White Sox fan, Johnny. It was great to take this one in with you. What a victory today.
Yeah, I mean, hey, after losing the first game of the series, Tony, I think, nobody was panicking or anything like that, but you thought, oh, man, like, is this going to be a, you know, scenario where the White Sox falter against another, you know, good team? And, we saw that with the Yankees and an opponent earlier, seeing them get hot. Obviously, they were able to take two or three from the Blue Jays, and we were hoping that they're able to do the same against these Rays, and obviously that came through, and they were able to deliver that in dramatic fashion with the series win to propel themselves to the best record in baseball, Tony. 43-25 is cool and tough. Excuse me, 43-25.
Yes, absolutely beautiful day on the South Side. Johnny, before we get into the game, I want to talk about our experience getting.
Oh my God,
getting to the game. What a clusterfuck! What a disaster that was trying to get into the ballpark today. Never seen something like this on the South Side on a Wednesday getaway day game. It's 1 o'clock start, Johnny. Normally these are walk right in. A lot of people like to complain about trying to get into these games at 7 o'clock on a Friday. You would think it was Saturday on the South Side of Chicago today. This was insane.
Yeah, the place was buzzing and it was full. It was definitely a little bit more full than I thought it would be just for it being a day game. That does not go to against the White Sox record or how well they're playing or anything like that. But just being during the day, I thought it would just be a little bit, you know, slightly less crowd because I was there on Tuesday night as well. And I would say this was just as well or maybe even more well attended in terms of fans in the stands through there. And then, yeah, getting into it, though, Tony, the parking lots were an absolute mess. And that was not the thing is, I've been to games that have been crowded, like a Saturday night Cubs game. And yeah, it takes a little bit to get in. You got some lines backed up on, for pulling into B onto, was at 34th there and then Wells on the line that backs up. But it was moving. That would be the thing. It would be usually be moving on a game like that. Today it was basically just shut down. We were trying to pull in on Wells there and they just blocked it off completely because they couldn't handle the line.
No idea what was going on. No idea what was going on with this. This was, you would have thought that the Chicago Cubs and White Sox were playing a baseball game today and it was Saturday afternoon. That's my experience getting in here. I think that speaks volumes to how this team's playing, number one, but also number two, I think it also kind of gives you that reminder that, hey, maybe not all the staff is there. The city might not be prepared for 100% capacity yeah. White Sox games. Just a little bit scary. Just a little bit scary I'm worried about the next few games I attend.
All I got to say is they better get their shit together before it goes back to 100% capacity because you could tell there's some disarray among the parking employees. There's, we went down to C eventually and parked where we'd normally park in B, and the lady outside of C said that she has no idea why they shut down Wells when we told her that was the case. So,
yeah.
That was just a lack of communication there.
Figure it out. It was interesting getting into the ballpark today, and we'll try that again next time. And hopefully the city and the White Sox parking staff and the White Sox in general can figure that out, because after we got through the gate, Johnny, we were also greeted by another massive crowd trying to get into the 100 level. Just interesting things today. Stuff that I've never really experienced. Well,
the other thing too is I've gone and, you know, you have those checkers at the top of the section there, and we were going into the 100 level, and usually they have two on each side. And sure, it's a bitch to wait there, and like you're just anxious to get into the game. But if they have two, it usually moves like okay, because they're not too stringent. It's just okay, check it, make sure it's 100, and then boom, you're good. They send them through. That wasn't the case today. There's only one.
Jerry expected about 100 people to show up.
Only one checker where we were coming up the stairs from Gate 5 in that location there. And everyone just bull rushed it, Tony.
Yeah,
and that was the right move, so yes, we could all see the early goings because Giolito was pitching well to start.
Somebody moved the gate and we got in. That's what happened. Somebody moved the gate to get into the 100 level and everybody just went through. But like I said, Jerry probably expected about 100 people to get into the ballpark today. You know, that's shit happens. And I guess Jerry's probably happy. We spent some money today. The White Sox won. And we'll get into that. Johnny, before we do, though, why don't you tell everybody about our fine sponsor over at Grandstand?
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you are visiting Grandstand Sox, located right there by the ballpark on Wallace and 35th. If you are looking for White Sox or any Chicago sports merchandise, you can visit them online as well and shop there at GrandstandSox.com. Follow them on social media at Grandstand Sox. You can also follow us on social media at OnTap Sportsnet and at Sox on Tap. Visit the website OnTapSportsnet.com, where you can find these podcasts as well as articles on all your favorite Chicago sports teams. So, Tony, getting into the game here, Lucas Giolito comes out, starts pretty well. A couple, one, two, three innings to get going in this one. Actually, first three, you sent the order down in line there. Nice to see, good start there. And the scoring would come in the form of a Jose Abreu bomb. First hit of the series is a home run clutch, two-run bomb out to left field. We had a great view of it, Tony.
We absolutely had a great view of it. And Johnny, I talked about this with Buzz last night. And Buzz is here. He said, hi, friends. What's up, Buzz? I spoke it into existence, as he would like to say. Yeah. Jose Abreu getting the job done early with that bomb. You know I love fireworks. I was jacked up after that one and just felt like it was going to be a good day on the south side. Might have a little bit of a sunburn, but it's all worth it when the fireworks are getting light off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a good picture of it, too. I posted that. So you can go check it out at Sox on Tap on Twitter. I got that there. And we had a sweet view of it, Tony. Like I said, we were sitting down that left field line where your temporary seats are in, what was that, 154 there.
154.
So, you know, we saw it go out past the wall there. And it was just obviously shot out to left, Jose pull shot. So that got the White Sox on the board. And that was in the bottom of the fourth. Make it 2-0. And the White Sox would not be done there in that inning. Zach Collins singles. Hey, if he's going to be in the lineup, might as well get some production out of him. Yes. That scores Yasmani Grandal and Lurie Garcia to give the good guys a 4-0 lead. Crooked numbers are cool and tough, Tony.
Crooked numbers are my favorite thing. And that's all that goes back to Hawk Harrelson. And we talked a little bit about Hawk today. When we were driving home after this one, Hawk Harrelson had to be happy with those crooked numbers put up there.
Yeah, he absolutely did, because the White Sox would add even more. It was a little bit of a back-and-forth affair, though, because Kiermaier would hit a double that scored two in the top of the fifth before the White Sox could get to their second crooked number in this game, Tony. You know, the Rays are a little bit of a pain in the ass. Let's just say that. Just call it like it is. That's what they
yes,
are.
Yes, they are.
But they're good. They are. And they get production from places that may not be the most highlight-worthy names. They may not be the ones you're seeing on MLB Network every night, but they are able to produce some runs. So they get two back in their half of the fifth, but the White Sox would answer, hey, Brian Goodwin, Godwin. Might as well call him that at this point. Since our guy, Yoan Moncada, is out, obviously still with the sinus infection, but he comes through with the sack bunt. And Tony, I want you to elaborate on this one here because this would score Tim Anderson. And the throw got away, so Brian Goodwin gets to second here. You gave me a little flack about the never bunt, and I think you should air it out here.
No, I never gave you flack about the never bunt. Well, maybe I did. Hey, sometimes you got to lay one down. Sometimes yeah. things have to happen. Get them on, get them over, get them in works sometimes. And you saw that with the 2005 White Sox. You've seen that with good teams. Get them on, get them over, get them in. I'm not going to advocate bunting in every situation.
Yeah.
However, I am going to advocate putting the ball in play. It just seems to work. You know, when you put the ball in play, you saw it last night. Ball gets put in play by Danny Mendick. You wind up scoring two runs because you force the opponent to make defensive plays. And sometimes that's going to work in your favor. They did it again today. They lay down a bunt, ball gets away. You wind up on top here, adding on some more numbers to that crooked number, and things are good. Is that going to work every time? No. But is it better to put the ball in play than to strike out, Johnny?
Yeah, I would say so too.
I'm going to advocate for putting the ball in play.
And also, I think just for the, you know, like the never bunk crowd, I understand that too, because you're talking win probabilities and, you know, possible, you know, sort of value that play would in particular would add. But I also look at the personnel. The White Sox are banged up. If you got like Yoan Moncada out there, I don't want him fucking bunting.
No.
But this is Brian Goodwin we're talking about. And as hot as he's been to start, you know, for the first couple of games that he was with the White Sox, you know, you can't expect that to completely go that way every single day. So I thought that was a smart play.
You know, obviously, if it doesn't work out, people are going to come back to you and say, well, he just hit a home run. Why is he bunting?
Yeah.
To each their own.
I understand that. But in this situation here, it was still, you know, I believe there are no outs at this time. So it was a, correct, you know, I would say the right situation to do it in. And obviously, you know, the force them to make a mistake, and mistake they made. And that put Brian Goodwin on second. And that would lead to the White Sox next run because Andrew Vaughn comes up, ropes a double. That scores. Brian Goodwin got the second on that throwing error. So that would make it 6-2. White Sox in the bottom of the fifth here. White Sox add on another one with Jake Lamb. Single to get Andrew Vaughn home. I think we need to give a little shout-out to White Sox Sal here. In Jay Clam, as in C-L-A-M. Clam, you know, he's been spelling it on Twitter there.
Jay Clam, man. Everybody came out for the White Sox offense today.
Yeah.
We saw it. We saw it. And I said this yesterday. When Jose Abreu home runs, this White Sox offense can put up 10 runs. Obviously, they didn't get quite there. But you saw the offensive spark. And Jose Abreu leads that charge, Johnny. They were able to get the job done. Jay Clam coming in clutch once again. When it seems like whenever Tony wants to go to Jake Lamb, he gets the job done.
And I think it's big that it's not that you're, you know, trying to deprive guys of it, but when you use them sparingly like that and they come through in those spots, first of all, that just looks better for Jake Lamb's stats instead of going over for multiple games in between those performances. But yeah, it does seem like he has come, you know, it's been like a little bit of a revitalized of sorts, granted in more sporadic playing time, but looks a little bit more like Jake Lamb of 2017 when you see that like 140 WCR plus figure there. So let's move on because the Rays would get themselves back in this one. Yandy Diaz with solo shot in the top of the sixth. That was off of Giolito. Cody Hua in the game in the seventh inning and Zunino. He hits a two-run shot here. Why the Rays get close back in this one, make it 5-7 here? It was Hua pitching.
He's your guy. He's your guy.
And he's my guy that's struggling right now, man. There have been some okay outings in there. Everyone, I hope you got the Sopranos reference there. Cody Hua. It has been a little bit of a rough go for him to start, but I think that is somewhat expected, some regression from guys like him and Foster League, seeing them for the first time last year. And a team like the Rays, they do their homework, so they know who they're going up against there. They know the tendencies, and obviously able to get to him. Zunino was to make it 7-5 there. We go to the top of the eighth, man. This game would just get more drama filled and make us bite our nails down even further because Diaz ground into a force out here in this top of the eighth here, and it would score Brossois. And that puts the Rays within one, and a double for Manuel Margot scores Phillips in the top of the eighth to make it a tied ball game here. Cody, Evan Marshall, that's who that one came off of. And just sucks because we were sitting there watching Evan Marshall warm up for so long.
Evan Marshall
seemed like he was up for like three innings.
Evan Marshall got up and sat down at least three or four times before he was brought in the game. He was up before your guy Cody was. Thought you were going to see Evan Marshall a little bit earlier. But then, you know, finally comes in there and gets touched up a little bit, Johnny. It just not as smooth of a bullpen day as you saw yesterday.
Yeah, no, definitely not. All right, so we need to give props to Ryan Burr. because this is a situation that I think a lot of people wanted to see Liam Hendrickson. Tony, I know on the post-game show, as we were listening to it, very briefly after, they were talking about a possible discomfort, something that was going on with Hendricks that may have prevented him from going in the game. I still don't know. I don't know the full diagnosis on that, if there was something going on, or Tony was just not going to him because it was the safe situation. So, Ryan Burr, though, getting out of that because the obviously granted runner on second in the extra innings when we're talking about the top of the 10th here. Big outs for
cool Ryan tough.
Burr. Yeah.
Cool and tough. We say this all the time. Ryan Burr was the forgotten guy coming into this year in the bullpen. And to be able to see him come in and get the job done. I talk about storybook shit for this White Sox team. I talk about the it factor. Getting that performance out of Ryan Burr today, that's your it factor right there, because it's unexpected.
Yeah.
It's a guy that comes in, is able to get the job done, able to, you know, give you an opportunity to win a ball game. That's what you need. Would you have expected it from Ryan Burr? Not me.
No, I probably wouldn't either, but hey, good for him. And I think that's just a big confidence builder. We talk about getting in high leverage situations like that, because obviously, it's just the rule. It was given to him, the Rays, with that runner on second, like it is for every team in the extra innings. But still, pitching out of that, you still got to do it. So he was able to with no damage. And let's go. To the bottom of the 10th, where the White Sox would win this thing. Obviously, Andrew Vaughn placed on second base here with this one. After Vaughn, you have Jose Abreu, who hits a ground ball back towards the middle. That gets Andrew Vaughn over to third base with one out. And Yasmani Grandal comes up. Was it second pitch of the at-bat? Ropes a double down into the right field corner off the wall. Walk it off, Yasmani, for the win. Sox have the best record in baseball with an 8-7 victory and a series win over the Tampa Bay Rays. Fucking beautiful.
Hey, cheers to that.
Yes.
Cheers to that. I mean, man, it's a great day to be a White Sox fan. I said this when we started the show. Yasmani Grandal, a guy that's caught a lot of flack so far this season for his batting average. Guy that can get on base. You're thinking right there, Yasmani Grandal comes up. Maybe you get the walk. Maybe you get a home run, but all you needed was a hit.
Yeah.
All you needed was a hit from Yasmani Grandal. He's able to deliver. That's why he's here. Yasmani Grandal is here to deliver, earn that paycheck, as they like to say. This is perfect. Walk-offs are cool and tough. Beating AL East teams has been a quote-unquote problem for this White Sox team so far this year. There's a lot of people out there talking about it.
Everybody said it was over after the Yankee series.
Yeah, everybody said it was over.
At least nationally, national media.
Here we are.
Talking fans.
Here we are. Who would have thought?
Yeah,
who would have thought? Not me.
Yeah, and obviously not. Now you're stacking these two because last week a series win against the Blue Jays, like I'd mentioned. Now
yep.
We take two of three from an even better team because the Blue Jays, let's remember, they were in third place in that series, and they still are. And it is a tough spot to be in with the Rays at the very top and Boston right below them playing very good baseball so far. We got a taste of them early in the year, and obviously that's where some of that narrative comes from too. But I think that was before we were poor for making judgments there. I think the Yankee series a little bit more fueled the fire, but you get the New York sort of big media right behind it. Now it is great to just stick that there because this is a very highly anticipated matchup for good reason.
You beat the AL's best team.
Yeah. And now you are the
AL's best team. This team's for real. This team is for real.
Yeah. Let's talk about the reaction in the stands, though, Tony, because this was electric, man. We talked about it being packed and that taking a little bit longer for everybody to get into the ballpark. But, man, the reaction at the end was totally worth, I think, the wait while we were sitting in the car, what, like 35, 40 minutes trying to get in the ballpark. It's celebrating with all those people, though. I think it made it worth it. Do you agree?
Absolutely, Johnny. And this is something special that's brewing right now. You can feel it around the ballpark. You can feel the energy. This is a Wednesday afternoon baseball game, Johnny, and it had just as much electricity as you would get at any Friday, Saturday night game. I know we haven't really had the chance to experience any Saturday night games so far, really. But, man, there's something different. It's hitting different with each and every win.
The Sox are hitting different right now. And they are actually doing it in different ways because we were so accustomed to last year, obviously, with better fortune in the health department. A lot of home runs. They were towards the top of the league and hitting those. Not been the case this year because you basically removed 70 home runs from the lineup with injuries to Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. So doing it differently, you saw it in different scores of ways. Good to see MVPito come up clutch today. Yaz with the big hit. It's always so funny. Like last night, seeing the graphic on the scoreboard that, 10 out of his 20 hits are home runs, and now he can add another one that's a double or a single. However, they're going to score that final hit. Don't matter because it got the game-winning run home. So, yes, money delivers eventually. White Sox win 8-7 in extras. Ballpark was buzzing. Love to see it. Now we'll hit the road and go down and play Houston. First time since the cheating scandal broke, Tony. Going to be interesting. I think there should be decent contingency of White Sox fans down there because – Houston, as we all remember, holds a place very near and dear in the hearts of Southsiders.
It does, Johnny. It does. And you've heard the Carlos Rodon comments. I'm not going to get into those, but there's going to be somewhat of a, I don't know, desire for this White Sox team to go beat these guys. I think everybody in the MLB, any MLB team, has somewhat of a chip on their shoulder when they go and play the Houston Astros. And you're talking about a White Sox team that's pretty damn good. I mean, best record in baseball. There's so many things that you could say about them. Houston's got to be scared to be facing the White Sox right now. Put that in perspective for 2 seconds. People are scared to face us.
Yeah. It's
awesome to even think about.
It's very nice to be at that end of the equation because I feel like we were still making a name for ourselves last year, even though, granted, you know, there was a lot of different factors going on last year with the shortened season, COVID, everything going on. But it took a while for everyone to say that, yes, like the White Sox are a team that, like, the Twins found that out firsthand. Talk about the series that the White Sox took, you know, 3 of 4 and clinched a playoff spot against them last year on the south side of Chicago. It took a while in that kind of, you know, sort of coming to realization moment that the White Sox are here and they're legit.
Yes.
And now everybody can view us like that because the Houston Astros are going to say, we got the best team in the American League coming at us this weekend. But do not sleep on these Houston Astros. That's what I want to make clear here. They're second, sure, in that AL West division, but they are also 38-28. That's not a bad record, no, folks. No. I think we would all be accepting if that was a White Sox record right now, and gladly accepting. They still do have an offense that can get the job done. They got an exciting young pitcher in Urquidy going up against our guy Dylan Cease. I know we'll be looking for plenty of hammers dropped there, but Urquidy's a guy that has gained some sort of attention over the past couple of seasons for being kind of a young up-and-coming pitcher for those Houston Astros. So, like I said, don't overlook them. You got a 4-game set, so it's going to be a long weekend down there, Tony. Obviously, the goal is to win all of them, but I think we could very realistically see 3 of 4 or a split with these guys down there.
I would be happy with a split, but I want to see the White Sox come out of this at least 3-1. I really do, and I think it starts with Dylan Cease. Coming in 5-2, what is that, a 3.38 ERA, 85 strikeouts on the year. Johnny, this guy, I said it last night with Bonds, you know, you go through this rotation, you get to Dylan Cease, Lucas Giolito. I think Dylan Cease has the stuff. If he is on tomorrow night against Houston, you're going to see a lot of hammers. You're going to see some cool and tough shit out of Dylan Cease. And it's next man up right now for the White Sox, not even on the offense, but with this rotation, you've seen these guys roll through some shit. You know, he wants to go out there and have a better performance than Lucas Giolito had today. Just keep it going. You get a nice solid 6-7 innings out of Dylan Cease tomorrow, I think we're talking about a White Sox winner.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I do want to just warn against, you know, the last time Dylan Cease was out was on Saturday in an absolute rout against the Detroit Tigers. So, yes, sure, it did end up working out fine for him. I think he went 5, and obviously you don't need to go that much more when your offense is putting up already in double digits by the time you're scheduled to be exiting the game there. But he did start off a little bit, if you remember. In that bottom of the first inning, command was a little bit off, ended up letting up a home run. If you do that against these Houston Astros, it's going to bite more than it does against the Detroit Tigers. So I just want to say that I hope Dylan Cease comes out and has it ready to go from the get-go, because you don't want to fall behind. It can change the tone of the game completely there.
Yeah, it can. And there's some dangerous offenses that we're going to face. I would put Tampa Bay up there with Houston. That's a ball club that had scored the same amount of runs as the White Sox coming in to this series.
No.
And obviously we know who is on top of that afterwards. So don't sleep on the Houston Astros. But at the same point in time, carry that swagger.
Oh, yeah.
Expect to win these baseball games. I think we're there. I think we're at that point in time where if you're looking at, and I even looked at the betting odds, but if you're looking at this series, you expect the White Sox to win. That's a difference in the notation and in the way that we've approached series throughout this show. I expect the White Sox to go in and win. Could they wind up splitting? Probably. Could we wind up going 1-3 against them? I think that's an obvious choice and scenario that could play out. But you have to realize going into this, the White Sox have so much fucking momentum. They are the best team right now, and they're the favorites going in here. Did not think I would be saying that right now.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. I thought it would be a little bit more even match, even with the Astros having a little advantage, if you were to tell me about this series way before anything unfolded this season. So, it's going to be a fun one, though, I will say. And, Tony, one thing, I know that, you know, it's good for the players to get off days and whatnot, but for fans, after a big win like this, you want to see them right back in action. So I'm glad there's no off day tomorrow. I don't know about you.
Oh, I'm absolutely glad there's no off day tomorrow. Next week's going to be rough, man. We got two off days coming up. We were talking
rough for us fans, not for the players. Let's say that.
Not for the players. Players probably are looking forward to 2 days off next week, but rough for us because we live and die with this shit, and we want to be on here talking to you. So it's going to be rough for us, but I like that there's no off day. Keep this moving. Keep the wins coming. This has been a good week. This was a statement series. A lot of people looked at this as a statement series for this White Sox team. They came and they answered the bell.
Yeah.
That's what's important right here. Go and answer the second bell. And man, I mean, I keep looking at this thing, and every single time there's been some adversity around it, every single time they've come up and they've answered those questions. They've done what they needed to do. This whole series, no Yoan Moncada. Let's think about that for a second. Will he be in the lineup tomorrow? Don't know. Do I care at this point in time, Johnny? I don't even know what matters, because turn life upside down, it doesn't matter who's in the lineup. This pitching staff has been fucking phenomenal. The depth has gotten the job done. It doesn't even fucking matter. As I was saying on the ride home, and this is a giant meatball take, and I'll leave you with this one. Did you even need to trade Chris Sale right now? Because no Michael Kopech, no Yoan Moncada, and this team's beating the best team in baseball to become the best team in baseball. Throw Chris Sale tomorrow.
that's why we have the meatball take.
Meatball take time.
Yeah, that's why that is a segment on the show. I love it, Tony. Because you are right. But neither of those guys available today for the White Sox. So hey. I know it's like there's no like top or bottom of the rotation. Obviously, in a four-game series, you're going through the majority of it anyway. But hey, Cease, Rodon, Lynn, Keuchel, how you feel about that?
I feel fucking like there's no weak link there. There's no weak link there, and I think that's what's been phenomenal about watching White Sox baseball this year, Johnny. Is it feels like you don't have these weak links, and some of these guys we've gotten picky with, like, why is Jay Clam in the lineup?
Jay Clam,
White Sox Sale. Shout out. I know he probably loved that meatball take. Shout out Sale. But, man, I don't even know what to say. I don't have anything to bitch about right now. Yeah. I don't have anything to bitch about. I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah. No, I am as well. I guess my one last lingering question is, how is Dallas Keuchel going to be received, especially, you got Carlos Rodon there, too, with comments. He'll be throwing Friday night. But Dallas Keuchel, too, coming back. I would imagine they still appreciate him there. And he hasn't said too many bad words about his former team down there. But I think it'll just be interesting to see because it's been a while.
He's a Southsider now, Johnny. I think that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I think that's all that matters.
Once you're into this thing of ours, there's no getting out.
Yep.
All right. Picks a click, and then we can close this thing down.
Picks a click. I like what Jose Abreu did. I wrote him today. Obviously, he provided me some fireworks. Love to see it. Gonna stick with him, Jose Abreu. Let's get a little hot streak going.
All right. I feel like a lot of all of you guys, Steve, you and Buzz, have all picked this guy at some point. But just with the way he's been used, he's going to be in the lineup. And Aquiti, if I'm not mistaken, is a right-handed pitcher. Get a left-handed bat up there. Brian Goodwin. I'm going to go with him.
Everybody's got to take Brian Goodwin. Yeah. Everybody's got to take
Well, you don't know how long it's going to last. You might as well do it while you can. Right?
Do it while you can. I love it. And today, I mean, he looked good. He got that bunt down.
Yeah, he did. He did. And he scored a run. So, yep. That's about all we got here at the Sox on Tap postgame show. Once again, electric atmosphere at the ballpark today. Go and check out our Twitter page at Sox on Tap. If you missed out on any of the content from that, we have some videos, pictures, all that good stuff up there. And follow the main account at On Tap Sportsnet so you don't miss an article or podcast when they drop. And then if you're looking for White Sox merchandise, go and visit Grandstand right near the ballpark or visit them online at GrandstandSox.com. Follow them on social media as well at GrandstandSox. So, Tony, that's it. All I've got. White Sox win. Best record in baseball. That's cool and fucking tough. White Sox forever.
White Sox forever. Johnny, thanks for all of you for tuning in. I hope you're cracking them, enjoying it. As Johnny said, White Sox forever. Cheers. Have a great night, folks.